My name is Daniel King. I'm a missionary evangelist, and I'm excited to be ministering in Houston because I can actually pronounce the name of this place. Sometimes I go to places, it's difficult to pronounce the names of. One time I was ministering in Rolla, Missouri. I didn't know whether to pronounce it Rolla or Rolla. And I didn't want to embarrass myself, so on the way to church, I stopped and I asked someone, I said, "Excuse me, could you please tell me where am I?" And the guy looked at me a little weird, and I said, "Say it very slowly so I can understand you." And he leaned across the counter and he said, "McDonald's." So I'm delighted to be here. I just flew in yesterday from the nation of Ethiopia. We're doing a big gospel crusade and campaign in Ethiopia. And I think I have a picture from that I want to show you. And it was just amazing to see what God did in Ethiopia. This was the Sunday night crowd there. And we preached the gospel, and we saw so many people get saved, so many miracles. There was one man who was a marathon runner. And he had was one of the fastest marathon runners in the country of Ethiopia. They're known for marathon runners there. And he always was winning races, but he started to have a problem here in his stomach area. And for 2 years, he was not able to bend over. He was not able to run marathons. And God touched him, and he was completely healed. And so I challenged him to a race, and he started running across the front. And he beat me by a long shot because Jesus had completely healed him. It was just tremendous. And I want to show you our 1,000-voice choir. So all the churches in the area sent their choir members, and every church dresses in a different color. And so you can see all the different colors there. And they sang special songs for the crusade. And so we had one night, there was a Muslim woman who came with her baby. And she said that her husband had suddenly deserted her and left her. They actually had a house in a town that was about a day's walk away from where we were. And he had suddenly sold their house and taken the money and disappeared. And so she was stuck with just this little baby boy. And she heard about the crusade and that Jesus would touch people. And so she walked. She didn't have anywhere to stay. She didn't have anywhere to go. And so she walked just looking for someone to come and help her. And so she came to the crusade on Saturday night and just was talking to one of the ushers saying, "Can anyone help me?" And they brought her to me and said, "This woman needs prayer." And so I started talking to her, found out she was a Muslim. And I began to talk to her about Jesus. And I said, "Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to help you." And so this woman gave her life to Jesus. Isn't that exciting? And we got her hooked up with one of the local churches. One of the local churches was able to find her a place to stay and is going to take care of her and her little boy and begin to disciple them and teach them more about Jesus. And so that was one of many salvations that we saw in Ethiopia. Then right before we were in Ethiopia, I was in the nation of Liberia, which Pastor Chaz and Pastor Joni just recently went to Liberia. I was actually there right before they were there. And we did a massive gospel crusade. We did a pastor's conference in Liberia. We had lots of people saved, lots of people healed. And just to give you a taste of what Africa is like, I'd like to show you a video from what God did in Liberia. I wish I could take all of you with me to Liberia. How many of you like to go on a mission trip one of these days? Like to go somewhere? All right, get signed up. It's time to go. I heard people are going to the Philippines this summer. How many are you going to the Philippines? You're going to the Philippines? All right, that's going to be a life-changing event going to the Philippines. But I wish I could take you with me to Africa, but since we can't all go right now, I want to just show you this video so you can see what God did in Liberia, Africa. Let's watch the video.
20, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So everyone lift your hand in the air and say, as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending me. Hallelujah!
Everyone is welcome. Is welcome.
Jesus says, be encouraged. You don't need to be sad any longer. You don't need to be worried any longer. You don't need to be in fear any longer. Why? Because Jesus is here tonight. Your miracle is going to happen. If you want to say yes to Jesus, if you want to walk and talk with God, you want Jesus to forgive your sin, lift your hand high. Hallelujah!
Isn't that cool to see what God did there in Liberia? And on the night of this crusade, there was one woman in Liberia who was demon-possessed. And she had gone to the witch doctor because demons were tormenting her in the middle of the night ever since she was about 6 years old. And so she grew up and was just tormented by demons. So finally she went to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor gave her some juju beads to tie around her waist, like beads on a long necklace, but around her waist. And so she wore this. She never took it off for several years. And she came, and we said, do you want Jesus to set you free from the curse of Satan? And she said, yes. And so we said, cut off those juju beads. And so she cut them off and threw them on the platform, and the demons began to manifest. And she started screaming and shrieking and yelling. And we prayed for her, cast the demons out of her, and Jesus completely set her free. And she started jumping and shouting, had a big smile on her face. And she said, Jesus set me free. You know, Jesus has the power over every demonic force there is. And so Jesus completely set her free. And she came back the next day. And she had just a huge smile on her face, wearing a beautiful dress. And she was just so happy because she said, all those demons that have tormented me ever since I was a little girl, they are gone, and I am free because of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we were there in Liberia, and we've had this crusade scheduled for several months, and I was praying and looking at the map and praying for this area in the north of Liberia, and I noticed that it's right on the border next to the country of Guinea. And Liberia is a majority English-speaking nation, with the majority people there who are Christian. But I started looking facts about Guinea and found out that Guinea, most of the people speak French in Guinea, and it's a majority Muslim nation. And so I said, you know, we need to go and reach the Muslims over in Guinea. And I looked at the map, and there was a city called Gigadu that was right across the border. And I said, you know, it wouldn't be that hard. Let's just stay an extra week, and let's go over to the city of Gigadu. We do 5 days in Liberia, then we'll go across the border and go to Gigadu and do 5 days in the Muslim country. And so it wasn't that far in the Google Maps, you know, just a little bit like that. And I talked to some of the people there, and they said, oh, yeah, we go across all the time. It's really easy to go across. And so we scheduled a crusade in Gigadu, Guinea. And when I got there, I found out that even though on Google Maps it's really close, there's no roads that go from one country to the other country. And there's a river in between. And there's no road that goes across the river. And so I said, what? I told the pastor, I was a little bit upset with him. I said, you said you go across all the time. How do you get across? He's like, oh, yeah, we take the canoe. So you take the canoe. That's great. How are we going to get the sound system and the platform across the river on the canoe? And he said, oh, we'll just put it on the canoe and take it across. And so that's what we did. We loaded up the sound system, the platform, everything from Liberia. We put it on canoes, rowed it across the river, went to Gigadu, and in this majority Muslim nation, we saw God do tremendous miracles. And so I want to show you a video from the city of Gigadu. There's the crowd in Gigadu.
The Bible says that all have sinned. Some people, when they think about God, they think God is very angry. But that's not the picture of God that Jesus reveals to us. Jesus reveals a God who is like a father. God the Father is looking for all of his lost children. We have gone far away from God. God is looking for you. Even if you are 1,000 steps away from God, if you will turn to Jesus tonight, it is only one step back to God the Father. God is looking for his lost son and his lost daughter. And God is not angry at you. He is not frowning at you. God has open arms towards you. Everyone who calls on Jesus, they will be saved from their sin.
In John chapter 4, we find the secrets to witnessing if you will follow these five steps. Start a conversation. Turn the conversation to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Love people. Reveal Jesus.
So that's what God did in Gigadu. And if you look up here, so on one night of the crusade, we had 27 people come up to give testimonies. So the crusade is 5 nights long. Every single night, people came up to give testimonies. But on one night, 27 people came up. And these are six of the testimonies that we saw. So this woman over here on the left, her stomach pain was gone. This woman in the orange, her hip was healed. This woman in the middle, her blind eye was opened after many years. She couldn't see, and God opened her blind eye. This man here, he had a leg problem that he said it vanished. This Muslim woman, breathing problem healed. And then the woman down here with the blue hat, she had a deaf ear, and God opened her deaf ear, and she was able to hear. And so this is in a city with many Muslims, and the local imams, the leaders of the Muslim mosque, they were upset that we were there, and they got up on their Friday afternoon service, and they preached against us and says, don't go there. Those people will, if you go listen to those people, they will send you to hell. And all the people in the mosque, they said, well, I wonder what those people are saying. So they all came to the crusade. And so many of them received miracles. These Muslims are receiving miracles. Word began to spread that Jesus was healing the Muslims. And many, many people cried out to Jesus and gave their lives to Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. And so we've just been seeing God work all over the world. Last year, our ministry did 11 crusades in countries all over the world. And so almost every single month, we're going somewhere and preaching the gospel. I just flew in last night from Ethiopia, and in a week and a half, we leave for the nation of El Salvador. And El Salvador is down in Central America, and we're going to be taking 137 young people with us. Many of these young people, they're from 8th grade all the way up to 11th grade. For many of them, this is their first missions trip that they've ever been on. And we're going to take them into the schools down in El Salvador, and they're going to be ministering in the marketplaces. We're training them how to share the gospel and to lead people to Jesus. And this is going to be life-changing for these young people. And then we've rented a football stadium, or it's a soccer stadium. Down there, they call it football. And, you know, here, they wonder why we call football something that we do with our hands. They're like, that doesn't make sense. But anyways, we rented the whole soccer stadium, and we're going to fill the soccer stadium. And we have over 170 churches that have each committed to bring at least one bus to the crusade. And we're helping to pay for all the buses. But we told all the churches, that we told them, the bus can only be half full of Christian people from your church. The other half has to be unsaved people who need Jesus. And so for the last 3 months, we've done what we call Operation Andrew. And so remember, Andrew, he came to Jesus, and then he brought Peter to Jesus. And so we're challenging the people to bring someone else to Jesus. And so with Operation Andrew, we asked them to write down the names of 7 people that they want to come to Jesus. And so these could be family members, neighbors, someone who lives nearby, someone that they work with who doesn't know Jesus. And for the last 3 months, they've been praying for this 7 people. We call it the 7 for heaven list. 7 for heaven. And so they wrote down these names. They've been praying for them. And then their assignment is to reach out to each person in some way, take them out for coffee, begin to build a relationship, and then to invite them to come to the crusade. And so they're going to get on the buses, they're going to come to the crusade, and we're expecting to see thousands of people come to Jesus in El Salvador. How many of you will believe with me for that? I mean, that's just in a week and a half. We're believing God for one of the biggest harvest of souls that we've ever seen in the nation of El Salvador. I want to show you some other pictures from, we got to go to some Buddhist nations. This was in November. We first went to the nation of Thailand, and we saw God do amazing things in Thailand. And in every place that we go, we ask God to give us the key that would open the door. And so in Thailand, the key that attracted people was music. And so we set up a platform right next to a mall in the city. And actually, this mall is just as nice as any of the malls here in Houston. I mean, up on the wall, they had a big advertisement for the iPhone 15, and I mean, they're up to date and everything. And so all the young people came to listen to the music, and we saw many of these Buddhist young people come to Jesus. We were actually in the shadow of a Buddhist temple, and while we were there, they did a big Buddhist ceremony right on the street, right out in front of this mall. And so in this ceremony, they had these Chinese dragons, and probably about 200 feet long, all held up by poles that, you know, people were holding the dragon. And so they were dancing, and they had this big ball that the dragon would follow. And then an acrobat climbed the ball up to the top of a big pole, and the dragon curled around the pole, and these acrobats climbed up, and then this dragon, it looked like a big snake, was kind of hovering over all the people like this, and it looked like this big snake. I'm not really a prophet, but maybe if some of you have a interpretation of prophecy, you know what that snake represented. I don't, know, but the snake is looking out over the people and stuff. And so, you know, they're serving these demonic demons. They're trying to hold the people captive. But we saw people that were demon-possessed who got set free by the power of God in Thailand. And then the most amazing thing happened. I was preaching in one church. It was a village church. And the churches are really small out in the villages. And so since I was a special guest, they said, we're going to get six of the different surrounding villages. All six of our churches are going to come together to listen to you. And so these six village churches, they brought all their people. And we had a total of about 65 people in the service. So these are small little, very small churches. And so as I'm ministering, I was preaching on healing, and the pastor kept getting on his cell phone and calling someone. And they weren't answering, but he kept calling over and over again. And I thought it was a little distracting. And so I was like wondering, why is the pastor on his cell phone this whole time trying to call someone? And then right as the service ended, his phone rings, and the person he'd been calling called back. And he says, where are you? Your husband is sick, and we have a healing evangelist here. You're supposed to bring your husband to the service so that we can pray for him. And the wife was crying on the phone. She said, this morning, when I woke up, my husband was dead in bed beside me. Before I could even bring him to the healing service, he had already died. And she sat there and cried next to his bed and was just ignoring the pastor calling. And then finally, she cried out to God and says, God, my husband is dead. And I was supposed to bring him to the healing crusade, the healing meeting, but he's dead. Can you do something? And when she said that prayer, her husband who had died breathed again. And she was crying, talking to the pastor, and said, my husband was dead when I woke up this morning, but now he's alive. Now I've never had anything like that happen to me before. I've prayed for at least three dead people. None of them got up. And this guy, I didn't even pray for. He didn't even come to my healing service. But while I was preaching on healing, God raised him up from his deathbed. I've never had anything like that happen before, but God did that. Then after Thailand, we got to go to the nation of Laos, which was a real miracle because Laos is a communist nation. And they don't really like Americans very much in Laos because of their communism. They've trained their people to hate America. And actually, during the Vietnam War, America dropped 2 million tons of bombs on Laos. So a ton of bombs for every person in the country. And to this day, there's still unexploded bombs. And every little while, someone will explode a bomb and get killed. And so, anyways, but we managed to get into Laos. And we went to the mall right in the center of the capital city. And they allowed us to have a music festival. Now, they told us that we're not allowed to preach. They said, you can't talk, you can't preach, but you can sing. And so, from noon until the mall closed all day long for 2 days, we went in there and had bands that were singing Jesus songs. And you could hear it all the way through four stories of this mall. Every single person who came shopping over those 2 days, we made sure that they heard us singing about Jesus Christ. And so look at this sign here. Right there on the, this is a hip-hop dance team that was doing music and stuff. And all day long, it flashes Jesus Christ there in Laos. And so that was cool. And then from Laos, we went to Cambodia, which is another Buddhist nation. And in Cambodia, we got to print 3,000 books for the new believers that got saved in Cambodia. And so this is the book that we give away to new believers. It talks about how to be saved, how to be healed, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to walk in faith, how to walk in abundance. And so all the churches took this book, and they're using it to disciple the people that get saved. And so every week, for 7 weeks, they took the book, and the pastor would talk about one chapter from the book each week for all the new believers. And we saw thousands of people give their lives to Jesus in Cambodia. Isn't that exciting? And so God is moving all over the world, and it is harvest time. This is what is close to the heart of God, is people. And so I'd like to just take some time tonight to remind us of the last words of Jesus. It's called the Great Commission, and Jesus repeated these words several different times and in several different ways. And so if you have your Bibles, open them up with me to Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus says at verse 19, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So here in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. I want everyone to just lift your hand in the air and say, go and make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. All right, now turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and we'll read starting in verse 15. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So here in Mark 16, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everyone lift your hand up in the air and say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Hallelujah. Now turn with me over to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to look at verse 47 and 48. Jesus says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are all witnesses of these things. So here in Luke 24, Jesus says, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Can everyone lift your hand in the air and say, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Now turn with me over to John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said. So Jesus is saying this between the time of Jesus' resurrection and the time of his ascension up into heaven. He had one thought on his mind. And he repeats this many different times and in many different ways. Each gospel writer records it a little bit different because he probably said it to them over and over again. I'm a father, and I have a 14-year-old son, an 11-year-old daughter. And when something is important, I repeat it over and over again. Parents, do you do that? I mean, how many times do you have to tell your kids to brush their teeth? Over and over again, I tell my kids to make sure you brush your teeth before you go to bed. And I repeat it because it's important. So again, Jesus said, he's repeating himself because these are important words to Jesus. Again, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So you saw it on the video a little bit ago. Everybody lift up your hands. Say, as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is sending me. Hallelujah. Now flip over one page to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit to be my witness to the ends of the earth. So everyone lift your hand in the air and say, I receive power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the ends of the earth. So Matthew 28, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 24, forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations. John 20, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. And then Acts 1, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. 5 times, Jesus repeats these instructions. How many of you think if Jesus repeats himself 5 times, we should listen to what Jesus had to say? Now, a few weeks ago, my wife woke up in the morning, and the first thing she remembered is that we had no bread to eat in the house. And so she turned to me and she says, Daniel, can you go to the store later on and get some bread? And I was still waking up. Yes, dear, I'll do that. And so then we go to the breakfast table. She wanted some toast, but again, there was no bread. So again, she at the breakfast table, she says, later when you go to the store, can you please make sure you bring home some bread? Yes, dear, I'll do that. So then I'm taking my kids to school. We're going out the front door, and Jessica sticks her head out. She says, make sure you bring home some bread. So then I drop my kids off at school, and my phone rings. Hello, dear? Yeah, I just dropped them off. Yeah, I'm going to the store right now. I won't forget the bread, I promise. I love you, too. All right. Goodbye. So then I'm at the store. I get my milk, I get my cereal, and then beep, beep, it's a text message. It's from my wife. One word. Do you know what that word was? Now, what would happen if I got all the way back home and I forgot to bring the bread? Women, what would happen? I'd be in big trouble, right? Now, what happens if Jesus returns and we've forgotten the thing that he told us to do 5 times? Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. John 20, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Acts 1, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the uttermost ends of the earth. Now, I think the reason Jesus repeated this so many times is because this was important to him. And I think we should obey the words of Jesus. How many think we should obey the words of Jesus? Amen. And so I know this is a soul-winning church. Pastor Chas and Pastor Joni have a passion for soul-winning. And this is one of the things I love so much about this church. Not only is Pastor Chas a pastor, he's also an evangelist, and he cares about souls. And every year, Houston Faith Church sets a goal for leading people to Jesus. And what was your goal last year? How many people were you? 4,000. And how many people were you able to lead to Jesus? I heard it was like 4,300 or something like that. 5,500? Wow, come on, give yourselves a big hand. That's pretty amazing. Wow. And this year, I heard there's an even bigger goal. So what's the goal for this year? 6,000, 10,000. All right. We'll go for the double portion in Jesus' name. You know, I think that's a good goal. And I think every single one of us should set a goal of how many people am I going to lead to Jesus this year? My goal as an evangelist, my goal was to lead 1 million people to Jesus before I turned 30 years of age. Instead of trying to become a millionaire, I want to lead 1 million heirs into the kingdom of God. And so God started opening up doors, and so we were able to complete that goal of leading over 1 million people to Jesus. It took about 15 years for the first 1 million, and then our second 1 million, it took about 7 years. And then I was praying. I said, God, what goal should I set? And I felt like God say, go for 1 million souls every single year. And so that's our goal. We're going for 1 million souls every single year. Now, in the natural, that seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so, you know, that's my calling as an evangelist. But I think every single one of us can obey the words of Jesus. You know, can you lead one person to Jesus? Could you lead 10 people to Jesus? Could you lead, you know, 5 people a month to Jesus? Set a goal. And then set your faith for that goal and look for people that you can lead to Jesus. Now, you may not be able to reach everyone, but there's someone that you can reach. Once there was a little boy who went to the beach with his grandpa, and in the middle of the night, waves washed up thousands of starfish up on the beach. And so when they woke up in the morning, the little boy looked out there and all these starfish on the beach, and his grandpa told him, you know, if the starfish stay on the beach, they're going to die. And so the little boy became concerned, and he went down and started running and picking up the starfish and throwing them back out into the ocean, running, pick up another starfish and throw it in the ocean. And the grandpa was up on the porch just rocking back and forth. And after a while, he called his grandson and said, son, he said, you're never going to be able to save all the starfish. Come on back up here. And there's thousands of starfish. You'll never be able to save all of them. The little boy looked up, and he picked up one starfish. He says, I can save this one. And he threw it back out into the ocean. You may not be able to reach everyone, but there's someone that you can reach for Jesus. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, there's someone you can reach for Jesus. I remember when I really became passionate about soul winning, I was on a missions trip to Jamaica. I was 14 years old, and we were doing a little crusade. And so all day long, we were running through the neighborhoods, passing out flyers, inviting people to come to the crusade. And so by the end of the day, we were hot, we were tired, we were exhausted. We just wanted to go back to our hotel and take a shower and go to bed. But when we arrived back to the hotel, there was a problem. For some reason, all the water in the hotel had been shut off, and so we couldn't take a shower. So someone in the group was a smart missionary, and they said, well, let's just go down to the swimming pool, and we'll wash off in the swimming pool. And so that's what we did. We took our soap and our shampoo. We were just down in the swimming pool, and we're washing all the dirt off. And then as we're swimming, you know, all these teenagers that were with us were goofing off. I was 14. I noticed that off on the edge of the pool, there was a panel that was smoking. And I thought to myself, panels are not supposed to smoke. And so very foolishly, I swam over to investigate the smoking panel. And as I'm looking at it, these sparks are coming out and everything. Suddenly, the light that was under the water, it shocked my leg. And it scared me because you can die from electricity and water. And so this whole side of my body went numb. I pulled myself out of the pool, and I started walking away, and I started thanking God. I said, thank you, God, so much that I didn't die. And I was 6 steps away from the pool when suddenly I remembered that all of my friends were still in the pool. And I immediately became very concerned for their safety. I rushed over to them. I said, guys, get out of the pool, get out of the pool. It shocked me. If you stay in the pool, you're going to die. And my friends laughed at me. They thought it was a practical joke. I said, no, guys, it's serious. Look, there's sparks, everything. If you stay in the pool, you're going to die. And I even started grabbing some of them by the hair and pulling them from the pool. If it had been you, I wouldn't have been able to save you. But finally, all my friends realized the seriousness of the situation. And they all got out of the pool. And thank God no one died that day. And right then, God spoke to me. He says, Daniel, I want you to have the same passion saving people from hell as you showed saving your friends from the swimming pool. You see, a lot of people, they get saved and they walk away saying, thank you, God, for saving me. But they forget that there is a world full of people who are dying and in danger of going to hell. And so thank God that you're saved. How many of you are saved today? Wave your hand at me. Yeah, thank God that you're saved. But let's not forget about all the people who are in danger of going to hell. Someone said that Christianity is like one starving man who found bread, going and telling all the other starving men where they can find bread. And so thank God that you're saved. But now that you're saved, who will take the living bread to those who need it the most? Hallelujah. So look at the person next to you and say, you're a soul winner. Say, you should be leading people to Jesus. All right, now I want to give you some tools that will help you to share the gospel with those around you. I just wrote a new book. It's called Pictures of the Gospel, or The Gospel in Pictures. And I like visual representations of the gospel. A lot of the countries that we go to, people sometimes are not literate. They can't even read. And so I'm always looking for ways to communicate the gospel in pictures in a way that people can understand what is the gospel. And so I'm going to give you several pictures of the gospel that will help you to visualize the gospel. And I think this will help you to be good at sharing the good news with people around you. So, you know, there's several different ways of looking at the gospel. And you don't have to use all these different ways, but you can pick one and use it as your way of sharing the gospel with people. All right, so the first one is the four squares. And so you have four simple pictures here. And I always start with the tree. And this stands for God's creation. In the beginning of time, God created Adam and Eve. And everything was perfect. He put them in a beautiful garden and gave them the best food to eat. God walked and talked with Adam and Eve every single day. It was wonderful. But then came Satan's deception. Satan came and whispered lies to Adam and Eve. And because of Satan's lies, sin entered the world. And sin began to destroy God's perfect creation. And so where before there was perfect health, now sickness came into the world. Before there was eternal life, now death comes into the world. Before where there was peace and harmony, now there comes hate and disunity. And so everything bad came because of Satan's deception. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The Bible says the price for sin is death. But Jesus came as our substitute. We deserve to die, but we have Christ's substitution. And so Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And because of Jesus and what he did, we come to our restoration. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. All right, so let's just go through these. Everyone, hold up one finger. Say, God's creation. Satan's deception. Christ's substitution. Our redemption. So that's a kind of a real easy way to visualize the gospel, to remember it. Amen? Another way of visualizing the gospel is an illustration that Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ, he made popular. It's called The Bridge. And so in The Bridge, you have this gap or this separation between God and man. And so on one side of the gap, you have sinful humanity. And then on the other side of the gap, you have a holy God. On one side, you have death. On the other side, you have eternal life. And this gap is what is caused by sin. And so often, I'll even act this out as a drama during my crusades. And so I need some helpers. I need, young man, come over here. Yeah. And is that your sister?
Yeah, that's my sister. Right,
that's your sister? All right, come on over here. Okay. And then I need two more young guys. Do we have, here. Come on up here. You come up here. And then right here, come on. You, come on. All right, so in this drama, you're going to represent Adam. Everyone say, hello, Adam. All right, and you're going to represent Eve. Everyone say, hello, Eve. All right, and you're going to represent God the Father. Everyone say, wow, isn't God good looking? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to represent Jesus, okay? All right, everyone say, hello, Jesus. You're good looking too, okay. All right, so in the beginning of time, God the Father created Adam and Eve, and he created them beautiful. He created them in his image, and God does not create junk. Everything God created is beautiful, and everything that God created has a purpose. And so the reason that God created you was to be his friend. And so every day, God the Father would take Adam and Eve by the hand, and he would walk with them, and he would talk with them. So just take them by the hand, and pretend like you're walking around. Just walk them over that way. Yeah. And so every day, Adam and Eve would walk with God. They would talk with God. They were walking around. They were talking. And it was wonderful. They had fellowship with God the Father. But then one day, sin came and separated us from God. Sin is when we disobey God's commands, when we lie, when we cheat, when we steal, when we have hate in our heart towards our brother. These things are sin. And so what sin did is sin, watch this, it broke the fellowship between God and man. Sin separated us from God, okay? And there actually came a big separation. And so God the Father is over here in heaven, and humanity is down here on earth. And humanity has tried many different ways to get to God. Some people think if I can make lots of money, I can buy my way to heaven. But even people that are rich, they don't all go to heaven. Other people think, I can study philosophy. I can figure out a way to get to God, to fill that God-shaped hole in my heart. But even philosophy won't get you to heaven. And so humanity has tried many different ways to get to God, but it's impossible for humans to cross this gap or this separation that occurs between God and man. But God had a plan. And so one day, God called his son Jesus. And he said, Jesus, you're going to go to earth. You're going to be born to a virgin named Mary. God's explaining this plan to Jesus. You got to, come on, explain it to me. Yeah. I'm glad I got the good actors in the church. And yeah, and so he's explaining, says, you're going to go. You're going to be born to the virgin named Mary. And then you're going to sacrifice your life. And you're going to make a way for humanity to come to heaven. And so that's what happened. Jesus came from heaven to earth, and Jesus had disciples, and so Jesus took the disciples by the hand, And so Jesus walked with his disciples. He talked with his disciples. They were hanging out. They were chilling. He was healing the sick, teaching them about the kingdom of God, all this great stuff and everything. Yeah, yeah, that was wonderful. Okay, But then some evil men, they came and they crucified Jesus to a cross, okay? And so help me out here, Adam. Put some nails in his hands. Yeah. And put some nails in his feet. Yeah, yeah, he's even got sound effects going on. Yeah. Yeah, and so I like how Jesus is dying with a smile on his face. He's a happy Jesus. Yeah. And so Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he became the bridge between heaven and earth. Come on, clap for Jesus. And so each one of us have to make a choice. Jesus, come stand right here. Put your arms out. Yeah. So are you ready to come to Jesus? Okay, I want you to pray. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe you died and rose again.
I believe that you died and rose again.
I want to serve you all the days of my life.
I want to serve you all the days of my life.
Amen. And so Jesus becomes the bridge and introduces him to God the Father. And God the Father gives them a great big hug. And they celebrate. All right. And you gotta cry out to Jesus too. Do you say yes to Jesus?
Yes.
All right, come on, let's give them a great big hand. All right, you guys can be seated. Good job. And so the bridge is a picture. If you can help bring people, sometimes I like to visualize people walking across that bridge from earth to heaven, from death to life. Like, think about it. I like visual ideas. Like I was preaching in the one video on the prodigal son who went far away from his father. And he came back to his father. He repented and came back. And so repentance means to turn around. And so even if someone is 1,000 steps away from God, it's only one step back. If they'll turn away from their sinful lifestyle and turn to Jesus, boom, they can have fellowship with God. And so I like to visualize things. Can you see it? Can you see what happens when someone gets saved? Isn't that exciting? All right, another great method of leading someone to Jesus is through the Romans Road. And so if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Romans. And so if I was asked by someone, how can I be saved? And I had the opportunity to just sit down with them over a cup of coffee, and I wanted to make sure they got properly saved, I would take them through the Romans Road. And so what I'd encourage you to do, I'm going to give you some scriptures, and I want you to highlight each one of these scriptures, and then next to each scripture, I want you to write the reference of the next step on the Romans Road. And so we're going to start in Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23. And it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we begin with the reality of sin. That all of us have fallen short of God's best, God's perfect plan for our life. And so just go ahead and highlight Romans 3:23 in your Bible. And then right next to it, The next step is going to be Romans 6:23. So next to Romans 3:23, just write in 6:23 so that if you ever have a chance to sit down with someone and lead them to Jesus, you can take them to the next scripture that can help them on this pathway to salvation. And so Romans 6:23 tells us about the cost of sin. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so because we've sinned, we deserve to die, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so then next to Romans 6:23, put Romans 5 verse 8, which talks about the payment for sin. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then next, Romans 5, 8, put Romans 10, verse 9, 10, and 13. Romans 10, 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And then Romans 10, 13, the favorite verse of every evangelist, it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so this fourth step is the way to salvation. And then next to Romans 10, put Romans 5 verse 1, which gives us the results of salvation. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so because we've been made righteous by our faith, we have peace with God. And that is one of the results of salvation. Then we have the benefits of salvation. And so next to that verse, put Romans 8 verse 1, which says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And then next to Romans 8 verse 1, the next verse is Romans 8, 38 and 39, which gives us the assurance of salvation, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that you don't have to question it, you don't have to worry about whether you're saved or not any longer. It says, "But I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so if you'll just write down those different verses in your Bible, you can. All you have to remember is that Romans 3:23, and if you sit down with someone for coffee, just say, "Open up a Bible to Romans 3:23, and then you just start from there, and you can take them step by step down the Romans road to salvation. Isn't that good? All right, now I want to give you a great tool that I really love using to minister to kids. And so I have a gift for each one of you. Ushers, could you give one of these out to everyone? I've got a little sticker. And so what I do is I put this sticker actually on the back of my cell phone. So I carry it with me everywhere that I go. And that reminds me, when I pull out my cell phone and I'm standing in line at Starbucks or doing something, it reminds me, hey, why don't you witness to the person next to you? And so I kind of use this as a tool to start up conversations with people. Because sometimes it's a little tough to know what to say, like, how do I get into the gospel? And so I just start with a simple question, like, "Have you ever seen this picture before?" And it kind of looks like hieroglyphics. And so they look at it and says, "No, I've never seen that before." I said, "Well, can I tell you what it means?" And so everyone get a sticker? Raise your hand if you don't have a sticker yet. They're going to come to you as quickly as they can. Here we go. Can you help get some stickers to the people over here? Yeah. All right, so we start out here with the first circle that has a heart in the middle of it. Now, this heart means that God loves you and he has a perfect plan for your life. Everyone say, God loves me, and he has a perfect plan for my life. And so God has a perfect plan for every area of our lives. He has a perfect plan for how we should live life, how we should interact with one another. He even has a plan for marriage, for living life. And God's plan is loving and perfect. But the problem is that a lot of people have run away from God's plan. So you see the man here who's running? That guy is running away from God's plan. And when we run away from God's plan, it's called sin. And so sin is when we lie, when we cheat, when we steal, when we have hate in our heart towards our brother, when we do things that are away from God's perfect plan for our lives. And when we begin to sin, when we run away from God's plan, it leads to a life that is broken. And so in this next circle, you see some squiggly lines, and that represents a life that has been broken by sin. And because sin breaks people's lives, it causes a lot of hurt and a lot of confusion. And so a lot of people are looking around the world, just they're full of hurt and confusion. They're just looking for a way to change their lives. And so these different squiggly arrows looking up are different ways that people look for happiness in their life. And so some people, they look to happiness in money. They think, if I can just make lots of money, then I'll be happy. I'll be able to fix that brokenness. But the problem is that even rich people often have broken lives. Other people think, if I can just find a cute girl or a cute guy to like me, I'll be happy. But the problem is, when you have two broken people in a relationship, the relationship is broken. And then some people think, if I can just study, go to school for lots of years, I can figure out how to be happy. But even people that have been in school their whole lives often are not happy. But they're trying to deal with this very real human condition, which is brokenness caused by sin, because they've been running away from God. And so they're broken. They're looking for ways to bring change in their lives. And the Bible actually has a word for change. The Bible word for change is repentance. And so this man is kneeling down, and what do you think he's doing? He's repenting. He's crying out to God for help. And so then this third circle is what I call the gospel circle. The word gospel is a Bible word that means good news. And so this is God's good news circle. And so this is how Jesus came to heal our brokenness and set us free from sin. Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth. He came down from heaven to earth. He was born to the Virgin named Mary, and then he grew up, walked the dusty streets of Israel, and then Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. But Jesus didn't stay dead. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead, and today Jesus is alive, and he is the King of the universe. And he wants to be the king of your heart. Everyone say, Jesus is the king of the universe. And he wants to be the king of your heart. And so the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So you see this guy with his hands up, outstretched. What do you think he's doing? He's calling on Jesus. And so if you'll call on Jesus right now, you can be saved. And God will bring you back to his perfect love and his perfect plan for your life. Isn't that a nice little tool? And so you can put the sticker on your Bible, put it on the back of your phone, put it somewhere where you can use it, pull it out. On my table back there, I've got some extra stickers, so if you want to grab some extras to use and keep around. And so now I want to have you guys practice sharing the gospel with one another, just to kind of get everyone in practice so that you're ready when God tells you to share your faith with someone. And so I want everyone to find a partner, and we're going to take about 3 minutes here, and I want you to talk them through the sticker and use it to lead them to Jesus. All right. Did the person you're talking to get saved? Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap for Jesus. He's leading all kinds of people to heaven. All right, so I encourage you, use that, help Pastor Chaz reach the goal, 6,000 plus souls saved this year. Amen. And if you use that to lead someone to Jesus, make sure you let Pastor Chaz know. I know he's going to be excited to hear about all the people that are going to come to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.